This has been my home for 6 years. Every day I train to be as good a podcaster as my father. I am a man now, and it's time I went home. I need to discover who I am, what it is I should do, and what happened to my father. On this episode of B-Movie Mania.
A B-Movie Mania, laddies.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
Hello and welcome everyone out there in podcast land. Welcome to season 6 of B-Movie Mania. I am your host on this first episode, Michael Hayes, and with me as always is Jason Hulls.
There are no rules.
Paul Brooks.
Good evening. Welcome Maniacs to season 6, both like all of you Maniacs right here and the Maniacs listening at home.
Oh, thank you. And what about the ultimate crazy Chris Hudson?
Let me see if I can make my face blank enough to get the delivery of this line just right. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, dear listener, as you may have guessed, we watched the 1998 Irish martial arts film Fatal Deviation, a movie that someone made.
You could have just stopped at Irish martial arts movie, and people should know what you're talking about because it's the only one.
I was going to say best Irish martial arts movie because it's also the only one.
Worst, that's best, middle...
Everything.
All of it. Most intricate. You could give it really any sort of least classification intricate. You want.
Best filmed.
Worst filmed.
Most car crashes.
Best sound design.
Oh, God, no. I don't think we can give it that.
Best cowboy nude in a tub.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Wow. Well... I forget how to even do this. What, guys? Well, I guess it's time for quick takes.
It has been 6 years.
Quick takes!
Gotta knock the rust off there, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think this is how we do it. We're gonna do quick takes first, and then we're gonna talk about what the movie is. So, Chris Hudson, what's your quick take?
The team behind Fatal Deviation treat filmmaking much like the Irish treat Fight Club tournaments. There are no rules.
Yes.
No rules on lighting, no rules on shot composition, acting, anything goes.
All right, Jason Hulls, quick take.
This is my favorite Irish martial arts movie featuring a Metallica Ride the Lightning t-shirt.
Yeah.
And Mr. Paul Brooks, quick take.
Finally, a movie that features Mike Graham from the rock group Boyzone.
Finally. We've all been waiting for that. Somehow, the most of the fighting in this movie is the most boring part. I don't know how. That's my quick feeling on this thing.
Because they didn't know what
they
were doing.
Yeah.
Because they didn't. Because, we'll get into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have some thoughts on that, but we can, we'll get there.
How many people almost died, do you think, making this movie?
At least one, but definitely probably more.
I guess a dozen.
I can think of at least two.
God. So does anyone by chance have the synopsis up? Can we get a read here of what this is supposed to be?
I could probably do it if you want me to.
Just do it, Paul. Just say it.
All right, here I got it right here. Ireland's biggest Jean-Claude Van Damme fan makes a movie about a classic good versus evil action flick mixed with kicks, guns, motorcycles, and a hot babe. One, just one.
That's about
But
right.
Boy, is she hot.
the Fey Irish, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is a movie that someone named James Bennett made, and he is a martial arts enthusiast, I guess.
He's done some stuff. I mean, I don't know at what level you could be called a pro, but he has done martial arts work in other movies, too.
He has. He has done 4 movies with Jean-Claude Van Damme since making this movie.
I saw that widget of information and thought, oh, surely this Mr. Bennett, when he says he's been in Jean-Claude Van Damme movies or Steven Seagal movies, that he's like one of the people in the movie. But it actually turns out he's like Nunchuck Man.
Yep.
And
oh, okay.
They're all background characters.
I didn't say there were big roles in his movies.
No.
He has just been in four movies with JCVD.
Yeah, I made an assumption, and I was wrong.
You would think, though. I mean, yeah, it sounds like it makes it sound like he went a little further than he did.
Yeah, but that being said, as for someone who said I want to do Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, he fucking has, though. I mean, technically, so
yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Been in a hell of a lot more of them than I have.
I just want to say, you know, it's season 6, episode 1 here. I'm really glad that you picked this, Mike, because this is a movie that is on some people's like top 10 list for worst movies of all time. So for some people, this is like a staple, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Some people, they're saying they're final. These guys are finally doing this. Fuck them.
Right.
Late to the game.
What is wrong with those people?
We like to spread it out, you know? We like to spread the big ones out a little bit.
Yeah.
And our season hasn't started so close to St. Patrick's Day before.
Can't wait till we hit the room in season 15.
Nope. Oh, not going to happen.
What, season 15 or the room?
We'll leave it at that.
A dismissive grunt.
Oh, God. Well, I guess to start out, maybe we talk about Rising Sun Productions.
They have a website.
Yeah, and it directs to, what is it, Werner Entertainment?
Yeah, yep.
Really?
Which distributes martial arts films.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay.
Like like training type things, and then looks like some like probably out of public domain films that they've decided to carry.
You guys know what they don't sell on that website?
What's that?
Fatal Deviation.
Motherfuckers.
Wait, what was the original website?
RisingSunProductions.net.
Right.
To age it to 1998.
So the company that's listed takes you to another company that doesn't sell the movie that's listing the production company?
But the executive producer in the credits is someone with the last name Werner.
Oh, which is Warner. I thought you said Warner, like Warner Brothers.
Warner.
Okay, that's why I was so confused.
Through a series of unexplainable mergers and acquisitions, Warner Brothers somehow ended up with this. So
we need content.
So you can soon expect Batman, Fatal Deviation.
Warner Brothers classics.
Yeah, it's Irish streaming service.
James Bennett was in Space Jam 2 in the background, so it was.
There we go.
It was part of it.
Wait, no, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. What if he was? Him and the wizard are just hanging out behind bugs.
The wizard's hitting him with sticks.
Flaming sticks.
Yeah, well, this movie got made by some people that wanted to make a movie. I guess it was considered to be a...
audition tape?
A real audition tape, yeah. Yep.
For Hong Kong?
For Hong Kong.
Yeah, for places.
Yeah.
And then... and then drug along his buddy Michael Graham from Boyzone, the number one Irish boy band.
If you look at it in that context, pretty fucking great audition tape.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I hope you guys aren't saying that you have negative feelings about this movie.
No. You know what? My
rating time.
I guess I don't understand why people would have this on their top 10 worst movies of all time list.
Me
Let's
either.
Put it that way.
Okay. I mean, by what criteria are you saying it's bad?
Right. Martial arts action.
I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, look. We have viewed far worse than this. You take right. any element of the production, yeah, yeah. and we have seen something worse.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if, I guess competent is probably a suitable word. There's some stuff that varies in that, and within that competent range. But, I mean, come on. Like, you can follow what's happening. We've seen some yes. movies where you can't.
Especially based on what I read, which was just, he didn't have any money. He just started asking his friends if they wanted to make a movie. They didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. We literally all four of us have been there.
We yeah. have done this.
So yeah, not bad.
Yeah. No. You can easily recognize with this movie that it is a labor of love.
Right.
I just wish that we got a few more scenes with him doing the splits.
We only got two?
Only two
splits.
Only two.
Yeah.
And I'll go so far as to say there is an economy of storytelling here. You get the whole deal in the first, once you get over the minute of black that somebody put on the front of the YouTube video, when the movie actually starts, you get the whole thing laid out in about the first 30 seconds. You know exactly mm-hmm. what's happening.
Yet it somehow feels slow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't quite understand that. He was, I guess he was at some sort of like reform school for 10 years.
Yeah. I didn't really. Is that really, where he was?
Yeah,
was,
that's what reform. That's school. What Wikipedia says.
Mm. He's 30 years old. They finally kicked him out.
Yeah. And so it looks like, what it looked like to me was that he had his own place. And he's like, you know what? I've been living here for 10 years. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to go find mm-hmm. myself. I'm going to go, you know, do something different. So he just walks to an abandoned house, and he's like, now I live here.
He moves in with some black mold.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had to have been his old family home, I guess.
Right,
for sure.
I thought it was where his dad taught him martial arts.
Yeah. No, yeah, because there were some flashbacks and stuff, and he pretties it up pretty well somehow.
Yeah, dude, because...
Let's not bypass how awful this house looks. I mean, it looks... And I say this with no snark. It is reclaimed by nature.
Yes.
The walls, the everything are just grass.
Every set, every location in this movie looks reclaimed by nature. Even the carnival.
Paul, you've been to Ireland. You've been to the Greenland.
I have.
Would you say it looked like it was reclaimed by nature?
Well, the thing about Ireland is that it's actually quite nice. It's always misting. You get this really nice mist in your face. So I am, you know, the vegetation grows probably very quickly. So, you know, if you decide, you know what, something happened to my dad, I'm going to go to reform school. Yeah, you're going to get your house taken over pretty quickly.
Okay.
I just want to say that I've also seen every episode of Father Ted, and this kind of follows from my experience with that.
It's in the same universe, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I
think Trim is on Craggy Isle.
No, you know what? I was just going to say, Mike, if you don't mind, I would like to mention that I looked up where this movie was shot. It was Trim, like Chris just said. That's the name of the town. Mm-hmm. And Trim is like a little northwest of Dublin, sort of on the eastern side of Ireland. I didn't get quite that far up. I cut over, so I never saw Trim. But apparently, some other stuff has been shot there. They shot some Braveheart in Trim.
Wow.
And there's something else on the Wikipedia page I can't remember, but a few things have been shot up that way.
They do have a pretty full-featured airport that we see in the movie that makes it really easy for productions to makes it really easy for productions to fly in.
Yeah,
we should go there.
I'd love to go to Trim.
Yeah,
I'd
love to. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Like, there is no one on this earth who's going to be like, we're going to show you some Fatal Deviation filming locations.
Here's the Trim pub. Here's the Trim airport.
I bet we could even get the wizard to show us around.
So I'm sorry. I'm just exasperated. I don't know where to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because it's like Jay said, it's very economical in the plot development. Like, it's basically, you know, he goes back to town. He decides that he's going to figure out what happened to his father, going to find himself a little bit, go back to his town. And he just immediately starts running into, like, Irish gang members, basically.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, yes.
Like everywhere he goes.
One of which is a member of a boy band, but
yeah.
I never quite figured out who.
He's Mikey. Yeah.
The main, not the older guy, but like sort of the main younger guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The main younger guy whose father is the older guy.
Right.
Did they ever name him in the movie?
Laughlin, okay. I think.
Lachlan,
yeah.
Okay, I did not catch that.
Well, did you catch anyone's names?
No, dude, the female of the film, the dish, the object of desire for the film, it was seriously, I think, 2/3 of the way through the movie before they said it or I caught it. But it was a long time before I figured out her name was Nicola.
Yeah.
I found that out just now when Jay explained it.
Okay, well, there you go.
I thought it was Barbie at first because in the credits it says Barbie and it's someone's name who, Potty or something like that. And I wasn't familiar with who Potty is. Turns out it's one of the thugs in it is named Barbie, or he calls him Barbie. So that cut that out. And I was like, who the fuck is this then? But yeah, it's Nikki or Nicola or whatever she gets called.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Rating time.
There you go.
So he comes back to town. He bumps into some thugs at the grocery store.
Who are also like 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of them is actually his real life trainer too, is Jimmy Bennett's trainer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're hanging out there and there's like the woman, Nikki, who's there. And she gets harassed, like they're mean to her or whatever. He beats them up instantly. And then we move on to the next thing. And it's just a lot of that for a bit.
Rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
It's establishing the bad guys are they got a control over Trim. And there's only one guy that can stand against them. But what quickly happens is that Lachlan, the gang boss, he wants to hire Jimmy and says, and real early, I don't think I'm ahead of myself here. He says, no. Oh, Jimmy's back in town, huh? Well, let's hire him, because wouldn't that be funny if the guy working for us, you know, I killed his dad. So wouldn't that be funny if the son was working for me and I'm the guy who killed his dad?
Well, that's a way of tipping off us, the audience, that is what happened to his dad. But Jimmy doesn't know that.
Right. And through the whole movie, it's not really a secret. I mean, there's really not much to put together here with the dad.
No.
Don't we get like 8 flashbacks of him as a kid watching the old man kill his father? Like full-on beheading execution style?
With the katana.
Black and white?
Yeah. We watch an old Irish man in black and white slowly pull out a katana and then like samurai style sacrifice this dude.
Oh, yeah. I guess, yeah. So Jimmy should know.
He should.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what was the dad doing when he was beheaded? I can't remember. Like, did this old man best him in combat?
I think no. I think his dad was just scrubbing the floor, so he was already on his hands and knees.
Okay.
And the dude, yeah. But
it was that, or he was, they kept showing him in front of a fireplace, like meditating or praying with Buddha.
Yeah.
A lot. Like a couple times at least. And so I think he also could have been doing that. Either way, he was down on his knees.
Okay.
The old Irish guy comes in.
Just an inviting target.
All I remember is that at the very end of the movie, when they're showing all the bloopers, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You see the old man very slowly swinging the katana down.
Yes!
Onto his neck, because I think they were using a real samurai sword.
God.
Well, you know, the stunt work in this is amazing. I mean, that the car accident they staged looked real. It looked so real.
Well, Hudson, why don't you go ahead and explain why you're saying it that way?
Because they actually had a car accident.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta love the spirit, though. Like, they just went.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, let's just fucking go hog wild on this movie. We're gonna get hurt. We don't care.
Well, from what I understand, too, they didn't mean to flip the car.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, they
it
didn't.
It just flipped because of their negligence for safety. And
yeah. Yeah, like, they show it at the bloopers. Jimmy's like, oh, well, I'm fine. Guys, I'm fine.
The best thing about that, I think, is they fucked up someone's car, rolled it, literally, and
I think it was Jimmy's car.
Well, then they decided, well, let's find someone we can pay to make a shitty explosion graphic over it, because...
Well, I don't know.
They set it on fire first.
It was really
they
on
fire.
They
set it on actual fire.
But there's an explosion that is not real.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there's a shitty explosion. Yeah.
But the credits have explosion special effects credits for two people, and there's not another explosion in the movie. So they just said, we fucked up my car. I'm going to pay someone else, I don't know, $100, and they're going to make this now.
But did
and
they not call, like, did Jimmy not call his insurance company? Or did he just go straight to setting it on
fire?
Listen,
Paul, here's the thing. And I think this is one thing that the movie really kind of taught me is that laws are different in Ireland because murder is completely legal there. I mean, Jimmy kills a bunch of dudes.
Thank you for saying
that. With no consequence.
I had a note in here as I'm watching this. I'm thinking to myself, do the police even exist here? Because generally in these type of movies, like I was thinking about Walking Tall, where the bad guys have control of a town and like the police or, you know, maybe the police should be corrupt. I don't quite remember how it goes in Walking Tall, but like there is a police presence, but they're corrupted in some way. And they just look the other way while the bad guys do the thing. But in this one, they don't mention police. They don't show police. There's never anything about police or law.
I would say, I mean, yes, they don't do a good job of going into that at all. I would assume that it's because the mafia, this little Irish gang, has a stranglehold on this little town. And sure. So the cops just, you know, if they're there, they don't mess with them.
Well, one thing, so, I mean, Trim is a hotbed of criminal activity, but I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it's only got a population of 9,000. So, is there even a police presence?
Probably not.
Meet me tomorrow by the Seven Oaks.
Why?
Because I'm going to work with you.
Why would I want to work with you, old man?
Your father said that the first time I met him.
What do you know about my father?
Meet me tomorrow at midday.
All right, so who's going to tell us about this wizard?
Oh, the wizard. I love the wizard. Look, for some reason, when Jimmy is running around town,
oh, God.
In the background is straight up Gandalf watching. It is awesome.
If Gandalf wore like poopy brown monk robes.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Gandalf the brown.
I don't want to say Irish Gandalf, but I guess I just did.
I mean, he's Irish.
With like a hint of like a Grateful Dead vibe somehow.
Yeah, he looks like a deadhead.
Yeah, he's toured around Ireland and followed the dead. When I'm sure they've toured there. But it turns out that outside of Trim, there is an order, I believe, of Irish monk kung fu masters.
Well, they're monks. Monks always know some sort of martial art.
Yeah, that's very true. And these particular martial art monks, they are having an All Valley tournament for control of the town. And I don't think that's the actual rules.
A what?
Like
tournament?
The All Valley tournament, like in Karate Kid. They're having a karate tournament or a martial arts fighting tournament. It's very Game of Death, Bruce Lee kind of situation where you've got fighters from everywhere that show up to test themselves and to be the best. And that's what they're going to do. But for some reason, these monks have a vested interest in Jimmy winning.
Jay,
yes.
Did you mean to say that they have a vested interest in being the best around?
I did. I did mean that.
Jay, you are not going to believe this, but the Grateful Dead never established the cult following in the UK or Ireland that they enjoyed in their home country. Even Frank Zappa, very much a U.S. deal, has more fans on the right-hand side of the pond. So I don't know if they ever toured Ireland.
You were kidding me.
Well, I mean,
wow.
I'd have to dig in a little bit deeper, but that's from the Irish Times. They do not care for the dead.
Well, fish?
I'll have to look up fish.
All right.
We'll do that for the next episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm grateful for that fact, though, Paul. Thank you.
But
same.
Wah, wah.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of facts, guys,
yeah.
It is a true fact that this monk, our main monk, and many of the other ones, had what you might describe as a big fuck-off beard.
Yes.
And the reason I bring that up, apart from it just being a wonderful characteristic of him, is it brings us to a segment called
A Bitch in the Bay, I Tell Ya! With Jeremiah.
To get a healthy-looking beard, you want to warm up the beard oil in your hands for at least 10 seconds and rub it in really good into the skin. Also interesting, the skin is the largest organ of the body.
Might be your largest organ of your body.
Oh boy. All right. Well, thanks, Derek. Derek is someone from what?
Did Chris just insinuate that his penis is larger, but that there's no skin on it?
Yes. It's a big, bloody, writhing mass.
And oh, God.
Like Akira style.
Oh, my God.
A little Tetsuo action down below the belt.
The edit button stopped working, and my edit button stuck. It's not going to edit this out. Oh, no. Well, thanks for that, Derek.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. Derek was on our quick take episode during the off season of Bottom of the World. He was our guest on that. So go listen to that episode if you want more Derek.
They've heard.
Yeah, he's a barber guy, so he knows a lot about beards. So he popped in here somehow and gave us this little fact.
I appreciate that tip. My beard is getting big over here, so I should probably start doing. I mean, I have some beard oil, but I didn't know that about warming it up a little bit. So I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Did you know about the skin thing, though?
No. I just learned a lot.
I hope there's some more beard-related segments down the line.
I have a feeling.
Oh, there it is again.
On average, a man's beard will grow 5.5 inches a year.
5.5 inches, if you're average.
Oh, God. Oh, how do we get away from this?
You're really perverting this whole thing. I got nothing.
Okay, hold on.
I'm not responsible for what you guys think.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to click the bit button again and see if this Shirley Hudson can't link a dick to a third fact. One second.
You're just doing all in a row, huh?
A medium or short beard can make a weak chin look stronger.
All right. You can't sexualize that. Right,
unless my balls are on that weak chin.
God damn it.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
Damn
did it.
Why?
Oh, my God.
No skin on those balls either, I assume. On your balls
Jay,
and
what
your penis.
Jay, what were you saying about the tournament? What about the tournament? Tell us about the tournament, Jay, please.
There's a bunch of fighters. There's the Lachlan brings in his big guy to beat up everybody, and they fight in a like a monastery sort of thing, and there are no rules.
It's like a barn. There's like hay. You sit on hay.
Hey, hang on a second. Wait, Jay, did you say there are no rules?
There are no rules.
There are no rules.
There are no rules.
There are no rules in this fight. But here's the thing, and this leads me to my quick take that I had said.
Quick takes!
This is the most boring part of the movie.
Yeah. You know why, too? Okay, this... they shot a lot of this in wide shots, right? And
yeah.
They didn't really work with the editing much to make these fights exciting or to even differentiate who was really fighting. Like, you want to see all these different fighters and you want to see personality in all of these different fighters. But I feel like, from my memory, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of it's in wide shots to where you can't really tell who it is other than Jimmy or maybe the big guy that is the bad guy.
Yeah. They should have done something like the FP or what was that other movie with the well? They did a really great job of separating all the characters and the fighters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Land of College Prophets?
The Ring. Yeah, the Land of College Prophets. That's what I'm thinking.
It just goes back to the fact that this was an audition tape for Jimmy, basically. So there really wasn't any incentive to, like, set up the other fighters or give them any sort of backstory.
Because if any of those other fighters looked better than Jimmy, well, guess who's not getting a deal?
That's true.
Yeah. We got a 4-minute-long fight scene, but within that, there were those shots of, like, pretty good-looking shots of Jimmy, like, flexing and getting ready to, like, kick or had just kicked or something.
Wait, you said 4-minute-long... Sorry to interrupt. You said 4-minute-long fight scene. Isn't that a 4-minute-long tournament?
Yeah, it's pretty short.
Yes, sorry. So we do the 4 minutes, and then we cut away, you know, to something else. And we deal with those 4 minutes, and we get to see Nicola being held captive. We learn that the wizard... Jimmy's dad was the wizard's first student.
The wizard kind of trains him. The training is a little weird.
It's weird. But Jay, before we can get to talk about that, I do want to mention that then we jump into another 7-minute-long tournament scene that is too long. But it, again, audition tape, but too long.
Yeah.
One thing I appreciated when the wizard decided to train Jimmy, he said, "Your training starts at midday." I'm like, you know, I could appreciate that. This monk doesn't want to get up early in the morning.
Have you seen him? Mm-hmm. He's got a night of drinking to do before getting into this training.
Right. He's got to drink some of the whiskey.
Is that where we get the expect the unexpected line?
Expect the unexpected.
But I was just...
Your training begins tomorrow.
I couldn't quite tell what happened. If, like, did Jimmy show up expecting to train and then it just didn't happen for a while?
You know, I think so.
Yeah, no, because so he okay, so the wizard comes to Jimmy's house and says, "Your training starts midday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meet me wherever." So he goes and he finds the wizard sleeping, walks out of the bramble bush the wizard's sleeping in for some fucking reason.
There's a lot of traipsing through the woods in this movie.
Oh, yeah. But then the wizard has these magic powers of just suddenly appearing behind people. And then he says, "Your training starts tomorrow."
Yes.
So Jimmy comes out, finds the guy sleeping, creeps away not to wake him. And then the guy's like, "Fuck you. We start tomorrow."
So
thanks for coming out.
He just didn't want to admit that he was, like, up all night smoking pot, listening to the Dead.
Yeah. Well, did you see him with those bagpipes? There was smoke wafting everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Piping it in. Got to pipe that in.
Yeah.
Now, Jay, those aren't bagpipes, though. Those are Irish bagpipes, which are different than Scottish bagpipes. They're more famous, you know, thing. These are different. Okay. I don't know.
These are Irish.
I found a webpage called comparebagpipes.com.
What? Wow.
And it goes through a lot of differences. And it actually is interesting. I wasn't aware of this, but I do want to point out some targeted ads for comparebagpipes.com, which is selling Irish bagpipes. Every ad on this is about dying livers.
Wow.
Not liver disease. It's worded as dying liver. Question for every single ad on here is about dying livers. And it is terrifying.
I bet that all relates back to this wizard.
Yeah,
I mean, was up too late drinking.
That's
bagpipes why you're and cirrhosis of the liver just go together.
You think there's a compare your mess of Akira style crotch.com, Chris?
It's writhing.
I think it's rate my.
Rate my non fleshy penis.
No! Quick. So Jimmy won the tournament. What happens next? Paul, go.
After Jimmy wins the tournament?
We're going all the way there?
What else is there to talk about?
Well, there's a picnic.
Yeah. I'm panicking. Hudson's talking about a skinless schlong. I gotta get whatever.
I will talk about what a shitty place for a picnic. They just go to the very edge of the road, and there's, like, some scattered fruit on a blanket.
It's not even like a real road. It's like a little gravel path.
Well, that's
like
most of the road. That's most of the roads in Ireland, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
And they didn't drive there. There's no indication of how they got out into the middle of nowhere.
No. But they got back somehow, right?
Well, Jimmy stole a motorcycle from some thugs.
Well, right.
What?
Well,
what do you mean?
Hold on. When he does this, when there's a scene right around here where Jimmy, for some reason, I'm trying to remember what exactly it is. He just starts beating up people. Oh, it's the dirt bike scene. It's the dirt bike guys.
Yeah.
He runs into the scene to get the dirt bike. There is no indication that these men on dirt bikes are part of the gang at all. He just runs into the woods and starts beating them up.
Like, bring. And he just beats the shit out of them.
He does.
Well, he does it at the bar, too, before, like... in the an early scene before the villains are even like a thing to him, like some guys won't let him into the bar, so he just beats the shit out of the bouncers and fights his way in.
Yep.
He doesn't just beat the shit out of these instances, guys. He's kicking them all.
Yeah.
He jumps in the air and double kicks the bouncers, and he throws his leg up and just fucking pummels the dirt bike guy in the fucking face. It's the coolest stunt in the movie, easily.
It's now, yeah, it's up there.
I am going to take a couple points off my final score because Jimmy clearly disregards safety with his helmet. He takes the helmet, he's like, helmet, throws it to the side and peels out. That might have flown in the 90s, but even Torque, the guys wore helmets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but Hulls, did you see these guys? They are unbathed and unclean. They are absolutely, if you put that helmet on, you have lice and probably facial scabies.
Could be, but guaranteed. You can live through that. I don't know if traumatic brain injury is the choice you want to make over that, though.
So Jimmy wins the tournament.
Yep, he does. And which means he's got to go save Nicola.
Oh, yeah. You know, she really didn't do herself any favors just standing on the side of the road. Anyone want to kidnap me?
Yeah. Like, yeah, she could have backed in through the bramble and hidden.
Bush.
Or given them made them try. But they just pull up and go, like, nod at her, get on, and she just gets on.
All right.
Well, wait, okay, so they kidnap her. So I assume that they're... killing her is the or else part of the loose or else note.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
Now we're going back to the tournament.
So Jimmy wins the tournament.
Despite the loose or else message.
No, let's talk about loose or else.
Loose or else.
Hashtag loose or else.
Yeah, well, he's training for this tournament that somehow one of you gleaned why. And, they give him a note because Nicola is Mikey's girlfriend. At least that's what he thinks.
Well, he's part of a boy band.
She's more of his possession.
Yes. So she doesn't want part of it anymore.
Boy
she likes Jimmy.
Members can possess anyone.
Yeah.
It's part of the contract.
Yeah, it's part of the writer. So they leave a note and it says... It says loose or else.
So that's what the villains send him. I don't know. I have all these notes about things I noticed because you don't see what the message says at first, right? But there's also a scene where the bad guys are beating up the wizard in the woods. And Jimmy, so Jimmy gets this letter and you think, so the letter said, go to the woods because we got the wizard. But it doesn't. So there's really absolutely no reason why Jimmy knows where to go to save the wizard. But when he does, he shows him the letter that says loose or else. It's
fine.
Yeah, it's Jimmy wins the tournament.
He's probably horrified.
What, Chris?
I was going to say he's probably just horrified at the misspelling, at the... Or English.
Loose or else. It's supposed to say.
But anyway,
loose.
Jimmy wins the tournament.
It's not a spelling bee. Yeah. It's a karate tournament.
It's a karate bee.
Mike, honestly, I don't remember what happens after that. I mean, I know that there's stuff, but.
Oh, you remember something.
Paul, Jimmy wins the tournament.
Yeah.
Yep.
And?
There's the news.
So Jimmy wins the tournament and he wins and doesn't wait to even be like, you won. He books it out the door, jumps off the edge of the castle and down into where there's two thugs on a 1998 mobile phone. He kicks them both. The phone flies in the air. He catches it.
Hello?
Everything's okay, boss.
Oh, yeah.
And then hangs up.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, he runs to the naked cowboy.
Yes. Yeah, then he runs to the naked cowboy.
Jimmy convinced somebody to get into this tub that's sitting out in somebody's yard completely naked and go full frontal nudity.
You mean behind the scenes, like in real life, he convinced somebody?
Well, yeah, because it's in the film.
Yeah, but I'm saying you said Jimmy. We should point out that, I mean, the character and the actor have the exact same name, right?
So yes. Right, right.
Yes.
Well, yeah, okay, good point. Yes, yes. The director of the film, Jimmy, convinced this guy to be fully frontally nude in a, like, hillbilly mobile home setup.
It doesn't look like it took too much convincing.
Well, he maybe is one of those guys. I mean, we all know a guy who likes to just whip it out on certain occasions.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a movie playing.
Maybe there's skin on their penis.
Maybe there's green slime on
all
the
right,
television.
So Jimmy won the tournament. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to skip this part, Mike? All right.
No, what I want to talk about is that guy and how I think he convinced Jimmy to let him do it.
Oh,
because
we all know a guy.
Yeah,
because that gentleman is the co-producer of the film.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm almost certain he probably said, "What if I just go over here and do this?" Because there is no reason for that character to exist.
There is not.
Well, what's great? Well, what is really baffling about it? Okay, yeah, getting naked is one thing. But there's a buildup to this. He walks out of his trailer, cowboy hat on, Speedo. He's got a cell phone holster on his Speedo.
As you do when you're in the Irish Mafia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he even part of the Irish Mafia?
I don't know.
We never see him again. He's not connected to anyone in this film.
I mean, his group out there look very... like Brad Pitt's group in Snatch.
Yeah, you know? We even get the caravan. Like, they even refer to it as a caravan.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated, and I know it was a thing, so it's not a big deal. But just saying, we all do know a guy who's very involved in our projects. Maybe this guy just did it. Like, maybe he didn't ask the director, and he just got naked, and they're like, well, we're filming. What are we going to do, stop him? Because we all know a guy who sometimes will just come out naked. And
this is
not like
this is where Jimmy rolls the car, though.
Oh, right.
This is where Jimmy rolls the car
right,
on the
right.
way
Sorry.
to get, you know, get to Nicola. He drives the car out and rolls it.
Right.
Who do you know, Jay?
Huh?
So Bennett rolls the car.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
so
he does.
Yeah, Jimmy fights everybody. It's really, I hate to say it, it's really not that remarkable. All of the big beats in the film, they do kind of fall a little flat. Like he just beats up Mikey. I mean, that's the rivalry for the whole movie, and it doesn't really take long. There is a man wearing a Ride the Lightning t-shirt that gets shot through the chest.
Mm-hmm, that's pretty good.
I just had to say that because of my quick take.
There are, you know, like actual, it looks like they had an armorer on set, actually. So they had real, you know, like, I'm serious. There was an armorer credit
in the
end credits. Yeah.
Do you think he's like a real armorer?
I mean, they had real, you know, what do you call it? Like
guns. They had real guns.
Why can't I think of the word for?
Well, they had a few. They had a few squibs.
Squibs, and then also blanks. I mean, they're definitely. It was not CG. They were shooting blanks out of their guns, and people were getting hit in the chest with squibs and stuff like that. So, you know, credit where credit is due. I guess they went the extra mile to make sure that it looked realistic.
Well, I don't know if it went that realistic.
Well, they looked pretty realistic, especially when he stood up on top of that dirt bike and then shot the cars driving at him.
Yeah.
There was that scene that happened, too, that looked very realistic.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. But it's the fight with Mikey is, I guess, really the biggest resolution, or so you think, at the moment.
That's the thing. It's like, okay, he kills Mikey from Boyzone. Everybody, you know, kills all the henchmen. Everything else is seemingly good, right? Can I do this, Mike? Can I go there?
Are you going to talk about what I think you're going to talk about?
Probably.
The picnic?
Yeah. So we get another okay. picnic scene on another shitty side of the road. Yep. And I'm thinking to myself, what happened to the old guy? You know, like he was the head honcho. And the old guy, as soon as I thought that, shows up to the picnic with a shotgun.
You killed my son. Now I am going to kill you, just as I killed your father.
Why didn't Jimmy think about this? He was still out there. Like, go take care of your business before you do another goddamn picnic.
Yep.
Yeah. Because he gets there, and the guy says that to him, but Jimmy, he handles it. Because then Jimmy says,
you killed my father. Now I'm going to kill you, just like I killed your son.
Real flip-flop there.
Little flip-flop.
And he does it. He shoots him, and then he hugs what I assume will be his future wife very soon. Mm-hmm. And credits.
And this
fun music.
No, this really just leaves a power vacuum in the town of Trim, just waiting for Boba Fett to come over and take over.
Oh, oh yes,
know,
it does.
Chris, I did read in one of the comments of the interview with Jimmy. You know, there was an interview with Jimmy, right?
That
that we all watched. Mm-hmm. In one of the YouTube commenters, breaking news, folks, they're working on Fatal Deviation Part 2.
Oh, wow. My God.
The book of Fatal Deviation.
I hope it's true.
I hope it's true as well.
What is this interview? I didn't see that.
I put a link in the chat group.
Oh, well, we'll have to put that down below on bmoviemania.com.
Oh, that'll be below.
Mike, do you want, would you like a picture of me in Ireland as well, in case anyone is doubting whether or not I actually went?
Yeah. Send me one. It'll obviously be unphotoshopped. It'll be perfectly real, and that'll
is
be
that,
great.
Is that where you met Charles Band? I heard you met Charles Band.
You know, I think I did see him in a pub in Killarney one night, yeah. But I had met him prior to that, so.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
You don't believe that we met Charles
God
Band?
God damn it.
Well, I don't believe that you met Charles Band in Ireland.
Well, you know what? We'll post the photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starting season 6 off right.
Paul, I believe it was you that said something about fun music a minute ago.
That was not me.
None of us.
Someone said it, and I just want to mention or ask, was anyone able to find out anything about any of the music in this fucking movie?
Oh, I didn't bother looking. One thing I didn't research.
No.
I guess I assumed, maybe this was silly of me to assume this, but I just thought it was Boyzone the whole time. I thought Mikey was doing a couple tunes for this because they're just fucking bangers.
Well, let me tell you what. That feeling inside. I was obsessed with the music because I assumed too, Paul, it's Boyzone. And so I'm like trying to Shazam it or whatever.
Yeah.
And you get nothing for any fucking song in this movie.
Well,
they don't exist according to the algorithm.
So I'm like,
I'm going to manually look up all the Boyzone songs. And I have gone through albums and haven't found a match.
Wow.
Okay, but part of the problem is, you can't Shazam something. See, you didn't get it quite gritty enough. What it sounds like is clearly a drunk Irish guy pressing his face up as close to the microphone as... Hold on, I'm going to take my pop screen away from...
This feeling inside.
It sounds like that.
It does. There were a handful of fun little whatever songs, but that one, that musical cue just kicks in.
Yeah.
Feeling inside.
Rating time.
So I've thought long and hard about this, guys, and it seems like the rating we need to do out of this is obviously Jimmy. 1 out of 100, Jimmy won the tournament.
Are we allowed to deviate or no? Are we allowed to fatally deviate?
It will be fatal if you do, but yes.
Oh, shit. But I will not.
Wait, was there a titular line? What the fuck is the fatal deviation?
No, there is.
Wait, what?
There's a titular line.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who said it?
In the last fight of the tournament, when Jimmy is fighting Seagull, I think that's his name.
It is, and it has to be a reference to Steven Seagull, right?
Yeah. So they're fighting, and the monk And then the other people start chanting Fatal Deviation. Huh. No idea why.
They're chanting it?
Chanting it. Fatal Deviation. Fatal Deviation.
So Jimmy won the tournament, all right?
Yeah.
And now we have to rate how he did.
I'll go.
And all right, Paul, how well did Jimmy win the tournament?
I mean, Jimmy did win the tournament, but at what cost, you know? This is the sort of thing where I had fun watching it because one of my jams is like, not just straight to video, which is obviously is, but just shot on, you know, shot on video, SOV. Yeah. And this was shot, I read on Wikipedia that this was shot on like a Sony Hi8 cam.
Hi8, yeah.
They broke it like almost immediately and then had to shoot on the rest of it on a shittier camera. So
yeah, I think it was SV8 or something, yeah. SVHS or something like that.
So, you know, I'm digging it, but like we've mentioned, it just kind of, there's not a lot to it in terms of the plot. The fight scenes really start to drag for me. So, you know, I appreciate what they were trying to do with it. I appreciate the fact that it was a just a glorified audition tape. There's some really funny moments in it. I'm just going to go 70. Jimmy mm-hmm. won the tournaments. 7-0.
Nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jason Halls, how well did Jimmy win the tournament?
You know, I think Jimmy's heart is in the right place with this. You
Jesus
know, the
Chris.
Plot.
I'm typing notes.
That you need to say now?
When
We're
I get
the end
to
of the
when
episode.
It's my turn. Nobody needs to acknowledge my typing.
God, I gotta get you a goddamn actual keyboard.
Mike, no, Mike, cut that out.
No, leave it in.
No,
I'm sorry,
leave
Jay,
it
in. Jay, cut that out.
No. I appreciate what this movie is. It really, with a little work, could be a Van Damme film. Honestly, like if they had more money and just somebody went over the script, you could pop Van Damme right in there, and
what sport?
It would work. So, I don't know. I feel like I've kind of already gone over most of my feelings on this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed seeing it for what it is, and I like what it is. I don't know that I would revisit it much. But I'm glad to have won the tournament with Jimmy. So I'm going to go 77. Jimmy won the tournaments.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris Hudson. How well did Jimmy
Hold
win
on.
The tournament?
See, it's just not as loud.
Let me type my notes.
Hold on.
This feeling inside.
Oh, we killed Jay. Oh, no.
Jay, cut that out.
Wrong pipe. Yep.
All right, yeah. I'm done.
Well, I'm not really sure what to think. I want to say that part of my feelings towards this were because, I mean, so I recently had a baby, as you all know, and I watched this while holding her, and I didn't really get to watch it last, you know, uninterrupted. There were a few breaks in between there, and I thought that might have contributed to how I feel about this movie. So I did a rewatch today with a little, you know, focused more on it for the most part. And nope. The movie just sucks. So, I mean, I'll give it. I really don't. I mean, other than the fungus side, everything I've seen that's shot on video like this just doesn't work for me. I don't know what it is. You'd think I'd be more into this, but, you know, I'll give it a few more points because of the cowboy and an extra point for the Ride the Lightning t-shirt. And the final line, like, cranks it up like 10 more points in my book, which isn't saying a lot. So I'm going to give this 52 Jimmy won the tournaments.
Hmm.
Barely.
Which just puts it right above the good part. I think it's worth your time. You know, 50's the cutoff for me. Right. For, this is worth your time. But 52, you should watch it if you're really into this sort of thing. I'm glad Jimmy made this. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, not my thing.
That's fair.
That's fair.
That's mm-hmm. fair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I have to say something about it. And well,
technically, you don't have to. I mean, it's America, the greatest country in the world.
You know what? The most common Irish lotto number drawn is the number 27. The second most common Irish lotto number is 47. And for the luck of the Irish, you add those together, you get 74. Jimmy wins the tournament.
There it is.
All right.
Wow.
Well, this has been fun, boys. Thanks for starting up the season again.
It's true. It has been.
Mm-hmm.
It has been, and the question is, though, and forgive me, I wasn't listening when the Prince of Magic or you guys talked to him about stuff. He's been a bit of a pain
jackass.
In my ass. Yeah. So anyway, so who's next?
I'm next. We just, you know, we decided, Mike. We said we've been doing this for 6 years now. Haven't we earned the right to say, you know what, I want to go second because I've never gone second?
No, the Prince of Magic has to approve it.
Well, he did, if I remember correctly.
He did. So what?
What? Oh.
What?
What are we watching, Paul? So Jimmy won the tournament.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Guys, I've been feeling a little cooped up lately. I think it's time to hit the road. You know, more specifically, the freeway. Kiefer Sutherland, Reese Witherspoon, and Brooke Shields star in Freeway. It's mm-hmm. available on Prime Video, Tubi, Roku Channel, Canopy, Pluto TV, IMDb TV, and Plex. So I'm hoping that it doesn't go away by the time that we have to record it.
I don't have those.
This is the one where Kiefer Sutherland plays a real motherfucking creepy looking dude,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And, guys, this movie came out in 1996. So we are going to need a 1996 expert to help us dissect this film. We are going to have, from the Describe Fear podcast, host is going to join us for the next episode.
Wow, nice. That's
a
good get.
Do I have to bow out of this episode again?
Yes.
Okay.
No, right. No.
What? Yeah. What's the movie called again?
Freeway.
Freeway.
Good night, everybody.
Road. Can't wait to watch it.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They're touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
So Jimmy won the tournament.
Jimmy won the tournament.
You can buy our brand new Jimmy Won the Tournament t-shirt that is spelled out in non-fleshy penis font on bmoviemania.com. Click on the little square icon on the right side of the screen if you're on your desktop. If you're on a mobile, you got to scroll all the way down. It's kind of annoying. But if you're on desktop, you got to... Parker Love Bowling on the right over there, modeling one of our t-shirts. Just click on that, and then you can go check out all of our merch. Okay.
Good night.
Good night. So Jimmy won the tournament.